There's not a one. There's not one person. Y'all know Omar Gaddafi? You know God cares for him tonight? Do y'all know that? If we don't care for him, we're in trouble. But look at all the bad things he's done wrong. The only bad we can see in him is the bad we got in ourselves, or we'd never see any bad in him. We wouldn't think he's doing anything wrong at all. He just happens to have a little bit more trash than most in his field. But he's a pearl. And I'm absolutely convinced the only reason we have people like that is because the life of God in the church has not been demonstrated. I believe it. If we begin to demonstrate the life of Jesus Christ, living this life of sacrifice to one another, folks, we will be a light that will shake the whole world if we can just begin to live the Our Father. If we can begin just to forgive. That would end lawsuits. Just end them. We teach our kids on television how to sue. I know there's a family in California. I've been ministering to them for 10 years. The 19-year-old son sued his daddy because one of the sons was getting more than he was getting. Took him to court. Said, make my daddy pay. His daddy had to pay. The whole family's divided, twisted, bitter. But yet every time I go out there, they invite me to the house and I sit and bang on them for hours telling them what they got to do, and they say, well, that's good, but they won't do it. Every time I go out there, it's amazing how people can hear and hear and hear and hear and hear and know that it's the truth, but they won't move into it. It takes a concerted effort to do this, to forgive somebody that's hurt you or abused you or taken advantage of you. To forgive is divine. Y'all ever hear that? To forgive is divine. I'm convinced. I'm going to go back now to the passage where Jesus said, ye therefore must be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. I am convinced that my perfection comes as I choose to forgive, no matter what anybody does to me. And that I'm perfect. For Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm convinced that perfection comes, and we become sons of God in our ability to give no matter what happens, especially our children. Forgive. How many times? Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? Oh, Peter had a problem with it. He comes, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive? 7 times? You think about when Peter would say something like that, really, wonder what was bothering him. Remember the time he come running up to Jesus and he said, my taxes are due. I wonder who brought him the good news. He was married, you know. And his wife, Jesus, Peter left his net and his boat and started following Jesus. Don't you know his wife was a little shook? Where's the groceries? We're not vegetarians around here, you know. Put some meat on the table. I'm following Jesus. That ain't gonna put no bread on the table. And they're about to take my house? Why don't you go to work, you irresponsible Christian? You man of faith, go to work. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Folks, when y'all start abandoning the things of this world will go crazy. They get upset. I was able to preach the first homily in my parish after 13 years. I've been all over the world preaching. I've been on national television for 4 years. And my parish priest, a month ago, asked my wife, said, do you think Charlie would preach in our church? My wife said, you're kidding. After 13 years, you're going to let him preach? I've been thinking about it. And he did. And I nailed him. You know what I nailed them with? This message. Forgiveness. Reconciliation. Forgive me my sins as I forgive those that have sinned against me. If I'm not willing to forgive Omar Gaddafi, there's no hope for me. Father Smith said, Charlie, now that you understand this, you go ask your neighbor to forgive you for hating him. I said, what? I said, that was his problem. I didn't do nothing. He said, but you're a bigger sinner. You're the bigger sinner. Can you imagine how difficult it was for me to go ask my neighbor to forgive me for hating him because he raped my kids? To the world, that is totally, absolutely, totally, and completely ridiculous. But the day I did it, I moved into a happiness and an excitement that there's no way I can explain it to you. Absolutely no way I can sit here tonight and share with you the joy that came over me when I asked that man to forgive me for hating him. And from that day to this, I've not had any sickness in my body. My family hadn't had any sickness. My daughter, when I went and asked him to forgive me, my little daughter that I had abused for 8 years because she had turned into a bad girl. You ought to wear your skirt more than anybody else. And I want you straight home from school. Don't you dare turn left or right. Keep your eyes fixed on the house. For 8 years, the poor kid was like this. You think she could learn anything? She was a numbnut. But when I went and got on my knees and begged her to forgive me, pow, instant healing. Instant. Asked my son to forgive me. Asked my wife to forgive me. My other children to forgive me. Do you know my next door neighbor 3 months later walked up to my wife in the local grocery market, pulled a Bible out of his back pocket. He said, Miss Jean, I've given my life to Jesus. Do you know God said whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven? Do you know that you and I have the power to bind and send people straight to hell, or we have a power to unloose and send them straight to heaven? You and I have the power. God's given it to us. We have the power to obstruct jealousy, greed, selfishness, unforgiveness, arrogance, pride, resentfulness. We've got the power to bind and control and dominate, or we have the power to set free. Patience and kindness, generosity, long-suffering, obedience, forgiveness. Do you know, I've been dealing in this for so many years. You know what I've discovered about it? I'm convinced tonight that the unforgivable sin, the sin against the Holy Spirit, is unforgiveness. If I'm not willing to forgive, there's no way I can be forgiven. Let me put it to you a little bit plainer. The death sin. You know what a mortal sin is? Somebody give me a mortal sin. That's not mortal. A lot of murderers going to heaven, brother, so that's not a mortal sin. Give me another one. Boy, that's mortal. When we refuse to operate in the will of God and forgive, that's a mortal sin because the Word of God is Spirit. And it boils down to that point. If you can't forgive, you will not be forgiven. So you and I will choose heaven or we'll choose hell. One of the two. God doesn't choose heaven for me, or He doesn't choose hell for me. He made a way for me to come to heaven, and there's a way made for me to go to hell. He said, Charlie, today choose which way you'll go. And we've got that choice. Forgive. A mortal sin is unforgiveness. I used to thought it was adultery. Who was a mortal sin? And you know, James talks about don't get caught in the death sin, and I couldn't. Don't ever be involved in the sin of death. And I couldn't understand what is the sin of death. I mean, that worried me. It's unforgiveness. That's a death sin. A son that can't forgive his dad. A dad that can't forgive the son. It's a death sin. The whole family is destroyed. A wife that can't forgive the husband, the family is destroyed. The husband that can't forgive the wife, the family is destroyed. It's a death sin. And I never could understand why our church was so hard against divorce. It's a death sin. Unforgiveness is a death sin. You know, abortion is not a death sin. It's not. Well, we really, we pound on that. All it is murder. But how about unforgiveness? That's a death sin. You know, we never look at that. You know, the people that we go picket and beat up on because they're aborting? Unforgiveness. You know, we've condemned ourselves. Folks, this is really big stuff to think about. If you get in here and you begin to look at this the way Jesus looked at it, you know, the day they hung him on the cross, he did not condemn the Roman government for killing him. In fact, the guy that hung on the left, I think it was the left, that began to condemn Jesus, if you be God, come down and get us down. And the other guy said, hey, wait a minute. We deserve what we're getting. This guy didn't deserve it. He didn't do nothing wrong. Lord, would you remember me this day in paradise? You know, the Blessed Mother never petitioned, held up a sign. I can't even see where she was angry when they killed Jesus. And we get all worked up, oh boy, you're boom, 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 boom. I'm going to tell you all to better stop it. And we say horrible things to original masterpieces of God. Better stop it. Clean up your own field. Don't try to clean up somebody else's field. Forgive so you can be forgiven. Isn't that what it says? Is that what my Bible says? Forgive me my sins, my debts, my transgressions, as what? As I forgive. Folks, if we just look at that. That's the whole law balled up into one little sentence. That's the fulfillment of the law. It's to love. To forgive is to love. And to forgive is a sacrifice. We don't feel like forgiving. We feel like getting even. Striking out. Punching them out. Amen. Jesus never let his disciples do that. In fact, he told them, he says, Peter pulled his knife, cut the head of the ear off of the high priest's servant. What did Jesus do? He put the ear back on and it was healed. He said, Peter, put up your knife. Put it up. You don't need that no more. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against principalities and powers. And the way you beat Satan in this world is through love, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, grace. That's the way you beat the devil. You don't beat him by battles. War of words. You don't beat him like that. You beat him with mercy and grace. That's the way you beat him. I'm going to tell you, the ministry that I'm in has been victorious in every phase, and it's growing at, with the rate of growth that the folks is phenomenal. And you know, I'm as sorry and as wretched and as decrepit as anybody in the world. I'll just tell you right now, but through God's mercy and grace, you know I'll never get good enough to work myself to heaven. I can never preach good enough. It's the way I forgive and surrender that God will take me to heaven. It's not how good I can get. You never get good enough. Jesus is good enough. Amen. And when you get to the point you know you can't get good enough, then you'll start looking at everybody and you'll have compassion on them. I look at people today, I have compassion on them because I know how the struggle that I have, I know John's in a struggle. If I didn't have a struggle, I'd be whipping up on John and say, John, what you struggling for? Come on, John. Get right, man. But I'm struggling as hard as he is, and I'm a preacher. John's probably more like me than anybody in this room. Reason I love him so much. That's right. Old sawbones. I mean, and you know what? Jesus loves him and died for him and had compassion on him and mercy. And you know that I'm convinced John's learned that. And it's hard to learn that. It's hard to learn to be compassionate with your wife. It's hard to learn to be compassionate with a prayer group leader or a president of a ministry. It's just hard because you can always do it better. You can always see little areas that you can do it a little bit better than your son's done it. Or the president's done it. Or the bishop's done it. Or your priest has done it. You can always do it a little bit better. Well, today you can say, I can't do it no better than he's doing it. And whatever he don't do, I forgive him for it. Then you'll begin to understand mercy and grace. Then we'll begin to understand the love and the compassion of God. I do not have a battle with this world anymore. My battle is over with you. And my family. I don't battle with them no more. I just love them. I serve them. What can I do for you today? How can I help you? Forgive me my sins, O Lord, as I forgive those that have sinned against me. And do not allow me... This is really not a good translation right here because God doesn't test anybody. It says here, do not put me to the test and deliver me from the evil one. In Spanish, or in Greek, I forget the word used there, but it means that I don't want to be tempted. Folks, aren't we tempted daily? We are. We're constant. We have emotions and feelings, and those are, we're tempted. Our emotions and feelings are the things that tempt us. And Jesus says, pray that you're not tempted. Pray that you go through each day without temptation. Lead me not into temptation, and deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me from those trials. Deliver me from those situations. Deliver me from those evil thoughts. Deliver me from jealousy. Deliver me from greed. Deliver me from unforgiveness. Deliver me from all of these horrible situations that I'm confronted with daily. And do you know that I've found that that's the single most important part of the forgiving? Then I woke up one morning praying, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from the evil one. Because I realized that my walk, that's where I'm at. I have learned how to forgive. I desire to do the will of the Father. I'm loving my enemies. I'm doing good. But the temptations that I'm constantly confronted with are the things that I battle the hardest. And you know where they are? They're right between my ears. Right here. The battle of Armageddon. All of you people that are waiting for a big war somewhere, it's right between your ears. Amen. How much time have I got? Is it... I know... what time is it? Oh, I've already seen I'm 15 minutes over my time. Well, listen, folks, you've heard... Listen, you've already heard enough tonight to last you for the rest of your life. You have heard... You never need to hear... If you put this to operate, you'll never need to listen to another sermon. If you can get what we've covered in this hour. Do you have this on tape, brother? Are the tapes free? No reason for y'all shouldn't have this tape. Play it 1,000 times over and over. Let it just saturate your mind. And you'll begin to do it. Because see, the problem that we have is once we hear it, we can work on it for about 15 minutes. But until the first situation comes up with the kid, and then mama loses it. And that's exactly what Jesus said. When the trials and the tribulations come, they quickly fall. We refuse to operate on the Word. So you need to practice operating on this. I'll conclude with this sentence. Right after the Our Father, I want you to listen to the conclusion. I feel like it's the conclusion to the Our Father. Yes, if you forgive others their failings. Have you failed in your life, son? Sure you have. Let me tell you what Jesus said. If you forgive, your dad's failed, hadn't he? And your brother's failed. And he said, if you forgive them for their failure, your heavenly Father will forgive you of your failure. But if you don't forgive them, your heavenly Father won't forgive you your failings either. So in family, particularly in family, when we can forgive one another. When I can forgive my children, God said He'll forgive me my faults. You know, and then the parable of the log and the splinter. Why do you observe the splinter in your sister's eye when you got a log in your own? The only way I can see the splinter is because I got a log. If I take out the log, her splinter disappears. I don't even see it no more. So if we look at one another in faith, and this is, I don't know how God pulled me into the Nicene Creed, but I tell every one of you, you should spend, if you want to do some time in meditation, in prayer, go through the Our Father. Just take my Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. Spend a month on that. My Father. My Papa. I'm built in His image. I didn't come on my own. My Father sent me. These are not my words that I speak, but the words of my Father. You see what you'll begin to say? That's exactly what Jesus said. And that's what makes us, we are in the flesh exactly the way He was in the flesh, except sin. And He was the sacrifice so that God would not longer hold our sins against us. You know, in my Bible it says that God is not holding one fault against His, what's your name? God is not holding one fault against Judy. Not one. Can you imagine when Judy starts looking at her wonderful little son and not hold one fault against him? Not one. You'll have to keep your eyes closed, won't you, darling? That's the way I look at my kids, like this. The greatest lesson I ever learned about faith came from a blind man. I had him, we were in a group one night, blind as a bat. He didn't come up and ask for his eyes to get healed. And I thought, well, that's a strange. He come up and asked me to pray for him because he's having trouble with his wife. And so I said, his name was Vince. I said, Vince, I said, stand up here and help me pray for the rest of these people. And there was a lady came up that had on a dress. I'm like this, and I got my hand, I'm going, oh, geez. And Vince didn't have a problem with it. He just prayed right on through the whole thing. He didn't see a thing. He was just, I'm going, greatest lesson of faith I've ever. If you're blind, you can't see nothing. That's a good one. You know, and I'm saying I can't even pray for the lady. I'm too preoccupied, you know. You know, I'm even cleaned off my glasses. And old Vince up there just to pray it. And nothing bothered. This, he weren't bothered. And this is the way we have to look at one another. Blind and not see one another's faults, but take to one another reconciliation and the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that'll set your community free. It'll set you free. It'll set your family free. And the first thing you know, it's an exciting life. The reason that my heart today is free is because I don't judge anybody. I'm not fighting anything. Y'all have never seen me in a picket line. You've never seen me disruptive or against civil obedience. I just refuse to do it. Because the minute I get involved, I'm angry. But I ain't going to let anger... The kingdom of God is never increased with anger. It's always increased with love. Compassion, mercy, forgiveness. Now, I have nothing against going to abortion clinics and getting on my knees and praying. If they'll put a box over me. I'm not supposed to do that in public places. So they'll say, oh, look at the holy man. Ooh. They want to take pictures of you praying. Jesus said, go into your closet and do it private. Put a box over me and I'll pray. I don't want nobody to see me praying. Lord Jesus, help us tonight as the light of the Lord Jesus begins to shine through us. Lord Jesus, let your will tonight be done in us. Let us come into an excitement and a knowledge and a wisdom to know that it's as we share your words, your mercy, your grace to one another, that your kingdom is increased here on this earth. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.